I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen to all you motherfuckers.
Politics, politics, humor, humor, tequila, tequila, and an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Fart Cop Radio, 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 Radio.
Hi, my name's Bart, and welcome to another thrill-packed episode of Bart Cop Radio. It's show 70. Often seen on BartCop.com, often heard on the Bart Cop Radio networks. Here we are after 70 issues, and still I have no business being behind a microphone, but then again, I'm not a flaming Nazi gas bag, so I guess that's one thing going for us. Today's show's got a lot of balance to it. We've got four or five semi-well-thought-out rants. That's unusual. We have a bunch of the TV comedy snippets you've come to like. We've got a little music. We got some of this. We got some of that. No time to explain it all. Oh, one thing. Last two shows we were Chinaco-less, but today we had the Chinaco. That's what made it a good show. Let's get that out of the way. Oh, it's so good. You just can't do a good show without some Chinaco. Okay, today's show is so jam-packed. So much good stuff. Let's get into it.
This is www.bartcop.com.
Our house in the middle of our street. Our house in the middle of our house. It has a crowd. There's always something happening, and it's usually quite loud. Our mum, she's so house proud. Nothing ever slows her down, and a mess is not allowed. Our house, in the middle of our street. Our house, in the middle of our
house. So people have been asking about the new Casa de Bart. So I put together a little top 10. Maybe we can even make it humorous. Top 10 differences between Bart Cop Manor and Casa de Bart. Number 10, we had a real fireplace at Bart Cop Manor. Here at Casa de Bart, we got kind of a cheesy little press a button and it comes on kind of thing. I much prefer the real fireplace because when you get mad, you can throw shit in it. I really like that. Plus, the cats liked it when the fireplace popped, it would shoot a hot coal out onto the rug, and the cats liked to chase those. Oh, they love to chase them hot coals. Number 9. Somewhere nearby, there must be some kind of lake or a pond or something, because we have geese that fly over and honk. And I don't know why, but Mrs. Bart really likes when the geese fly over and honk. So every time we're sitting there watching TV or maybe cooking a burger outside, you know, in Oklahoma, it never gets cold. It's February and March. We're barbecuing outside on the back porch. But when the geese fly over and honk, a lot of points for old Bart. We love getting the points from Mrs. Bart. Number 8. There are lights. You talk about a luxurious place here, this new Casa de Bart. There are lights in the ceiling. I can't believe it. Now, see, at the old Bart Cop Manor, it was built in 1964, and the wires maybe got a little old, but the lights no longer work. So the only chance we had to have light, and there's very, very, very few windows in the Bart Cop Manor. So we had to go out and get these cheesy little, you know, these lamps like you put by a sofa or something. And, of course, none of them match. And so we had these mismatched lamps all around the house. And they're always going out, too. So bottom line, it was always dark at the Bart Cop Manor. But here at the new Casa de Bart, they have switches on the wall. And when you flip the switch on the wall, the light overhead comes on. You talk about luxury. We're living tall. We're living large. Plus, at Bart Cop Manor, we only had one phone jack. That might sound a little strange to you, but in the whole house, I guess there was two phone jacks, but one of them didn't work. And the other one was way, way, way back in the corner, back in the back bedroom. And to even hear the phone ring, you had to be listening. And it always would drive us crazy. We'd be watching a movie, and it always happens a lot with music, because I don't know how this works, but some cymbals, like on drums, some cymbals have the same ring, the same tone, whatever that's called, as the phone. So if we're watching music on TV, every now and then we have to turn the sound down to see if that's the phone ringing in the way in the back, or if that's just the drummer's cymbals clanging. But at the new Casa de Bart, almost every room has a phone connection to it. Check it out. I got a phone in my office, in my studio here, where I am performing for you right now. It's all about you. But yeah, there's a phone here. Yeah, watch the damn thing ring. But almost every room, of course, not in the bathroom or anything crazy, but in the bedrooms, in the hallway, in the dining room, all these rooms, they got phone jacks in them. So get out. So I went to Walmart. They had a shitload of $6 phones. I bought me 4 or 5 phones. We got phones all over the place now. And check this out. This is all still part of number 8. You talk about fancy. You want to talk about luxury? Here at the Casa de Bart, we have a garage door opener. Swear to Koresh. I got a little thing that hooks onto the sun visor, whatever that's called. And as I'm driving down the street, I can hit the button and the garage door opens. But every time it opens, I look inside and I see that it's full of stuff. So I got to park on the street. But I have a garage door opener. So at some point, as the years go by and we empty these boxes out, I hope to consolidate the boxes and throw away a lot of stuff. And someday it'd be nice to park inside. That would be cool. Like if it's raining, you can press the button and drive inside the building. Hey, that's what you call luxury. We hope to be living there soon. Of course, with this level of luxury comes a mortgage. Here I am, 51 and terminal, and I signed a 30-year mortgage. I don't think I'm going to make it to 81. But, you know, what were we going to do? We couldn't hardly move in some apartment, and I couldn't sign some 10-year mortgage. But with those payments, are you kidding me? So I signed me a 30-year mortgage. Now, hopefully, the way this works, and I'm probably telling you more than you need to know, when we sell Barcott Manor, hopefully, we're going to apply those proceeds toward the mortgage here at the Casa de Bart. Now, I think I got that all figured out. You know, them Catholics instilled in me some sense of numbers. So let's, I hope Sister Mary Joseph, I hope she knew what she was doing. Number 7, cable connections. Not only is there a connection in most of the rooms, in the master bedroom here, you want to talk about fancy, you want to talk about luxury, in the master bedroom, there are 2 plug-ins for cable. How about that? Another thing might seem like a small thing. Every faucet at Casa de Bart turns off. Swear to Koresh, every faucet turns off. At Barcott Manor, they nearly almost turned off. They all dripped. And we used to tease each other that this is our insurance against the pipes freezing. But in Oklahoma, it never gets cold. Like I say, it's springtime all year here. It's Florida in Oklahoma. When it gets super cold, it gets down to 50. We've been in this house, I guess, a month tomorrow. Now, whatever, somewhere, 4 weeks, and we haven't turned on the heater yet. It's just always hot in Oklahoma. It never gets cold in Oklahoma. So it doesn't do a whole lot of good to have no pipe freezing insurance on the faucet. So yeah, bottom line, the faucets at the new place, they turn off. Think of the money we'll save on just the water bill. Number 6 of the top 10 ways Casa de Bart is different from Barcott Manor. They are not raising pit bulls next door. At Barcott Manor, this is a story I've been wanting to tell for about a year, and I have told it for a handful of times, but every time I went to play it back, it sounded so bad I had to raise it, but I'm going to tell it to you now since it's in the past. We live right in the center of town, right in the center of Tulsa, Oklahoma, and this monkey next door raises pit bulls. And on top of that, he don't have a fence. Well, he's got a fence, but it's all falling down, holes in it and shit. So this monkey is raising pit bulls. So what does this mean? It means when Mrs. Bart walks to her car in the morning, she may or may not encounter a pit bull on the way to her car. So what's this mean? I got to get up in the morning when she goes to work and load the Glock. Well, I'm sorry, it stays loaded. But I got to get the Glock and stand at the front door while she gets in her car. Because if the dog shows up, I really have no choice but to make the dog go to heaven. I mean, what am I going to do? Negotiate with a pit bull? And you know how this is a pit bull, one of those, pit bulls, don't get me started. In the same way, in the backyard, when I'm cooking burgers, I'm standing there with 2 Glocks, figuring, if I have a problem with one, if the dog comes up on my left and I got the gun on my right, whatever. So I'm sitting there with two. And just to be sure, in case some neighbor, some cop, or somebody walks by, I bring my gun cleaning equipment out there. So I'm sitting there with a bunch of guns in case I'm accosted by the pit bulls. And don't act like this is a maybe. You know, when you walk into the backyard and there's a pit bull standing on your property, what are you going to do? Sometimes the pit bull would go away. Sometimes he would confront you. Sometimes they'd come in two or three at a time and start circling. That's when you better have your guns. And you people that don't own any guns, what do you do when the pit bulls circle you? I'm curious. What do you do when that happens? So I'm back there. And the worst part about it is I can't drink or other things while I'm barbecuing. Because if I have to help a dog get to heaven, I don't want to have to explain things to the policeman with beer or tequila or something on my breath. Because as a general rule, if you are some degree imbibed and you discharge a firearm in the city limits, they might look at that badly. They might not look at that with favor. So for the last year, I'm in the backyard cooking my burgers, my steaks, my chicken, whatever, with loaded guns, because if the dog shows up, what am I going to do? I got no choice, and I refuse to let... Now, here we get into this whole Israel thing. Remember how I'm always saying, I'm willing to do some battle with the pit bulls. If I had kids, I would not do battle with the pit bulls. You know, like the people, I'm always saying, if people in Israel don't want a war, they could move to Oklahoma, and everybody gives me a lot of shit about that. But I'm right, and everybody knows it, and I'm sorry if you disagree. If you want your kids to get on a bus that may or may not be blown up by the Palestinians, then I'm glad you're not my parents. But if I had kids, I would have handled this some other way. I guess we would have moved sooner. And I know what you're asking. What about the cops? The cops can do nothing. The cops told me after the dog bites somebody, we can do something. But a pit bull standing on your property snarling and barking, that is not a crime in Tulsa, Oklahoma. After he bites you, then we can fill out a report. And I said, hey, fuck that. Yeah, after the pit bull bites me or my wife, then we get to fill out a report. No, I don't think so. I think I'll do my own battle with the damn dog. So that's where the Glocks come in. And now the reason I told the story four or five times into the, well, every time it happened, next radio show, I'd bring it up because that's what's on my mind, because I generally speak about things that are happening and what's on my mind. But every time I went to play it back, oh, here comes Bart the dog killer. I've taken so much shit for being Bart the torturer and Bart the this and Bart the that. I just didn't want to add dog killer to the list. So we never told the story. But now them damn dogs are across town, so I went ahead and told the story. Since there's very, very little chance at this point, I'm going to have to send a dog to heaven. And the worst thing about the damn pit bulls, I've heard stories, I guess you have too, you can pump many bullets into a pit bull and nothing happens. I've heard rumors, I think I read this in a paper years ago about a cop. Pit bull had hold of him or had hold of something, and the cop is pumping 357 magnums into this dog's head and the dog won't let go. Now see, things that a Glock can't stop scare me. That's why I'm always saying a Glock can't stop a bee, Glock won't stop probably a grizzly bear. Glock won't stop a flood. Glock won't stop lightning. If a Glock can't stop it, I'm afraid of it. But if you're some linebacker, I laugh at your ass because, well, we're getting off the point. But anyway, these damn dogs. So I am through with the dogs. I no longer have to barbecue being armed. I can go back after a year. I can go back to having a fatty or a shot of Chinaco or some beer or something while I'm barbecuing. I feel real good about that. That's one of the biggest differences between Barkout Manor and Casa de Bart. We don't raise pit bulls in the new neighborhood. Oh, I like that. Sorry to take so long with number six. Number five, top 10 reasons Casa de Bart's different from Barkout Manor. Number five, we have an upstairs. And neither of us are too excited about climbing the damn stairs, but the cats love the hell out of the stairs. You know how cats go wild. They just go wild, and they just come tearing in the room, and they look at you like, well, and then they tear back out of the room, and sometimes they go straight up in here about 2 feet, and sometimes they'll just come hauling ass in the room, and they'll let out a howl, and they'll tear it back out of the room, you know, like a Klingon or something in heat. to the cats, there's nothing so far, nothing's more fun than these carpeted stairs, because they can be in one end of the house and they get this wild thing going and they come tearing through and they make a left turn and they go shooting up them steps. And when she does it, we got the two cats. When the girl cat does it, the female cat does it, not much is going on, but Bart, the big cat, he's a big, I don't know, 16 pounds, something like that, he's a big cat, and when he gets wild and he goes tearing up those steps, it's a very strange kind of rumbling. It sounds like a bowling ball coming down the steps. He grabs giant, giant hunks of carpet with, I guess, his front paws, and his back paws are kicking, but it comes out a thumpa, 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 and it's real damn loud. First time it happened, Mrs. Bart looked at me and said, "What the hell is that?" Because there's something really large moving in the house, but I guess a 16-pound cat grabbing big gobs of carpet and yanking, it sounds like a 32 or a 48-pound cat, but, yep, cats love them damn steps. Number four, now we're getting to the important stuff. Oh, please, God, make it short. Casa de Bart is dry. D-R-Y. It is not flooded. Not only that, but intentionally when we got this place, all four sides of the house slope away from the house. That was one of the problems we had at the Barcott Manor. In front of the house, it was higher elevation than the house. So when it rained, the house flooded. Not here. All sides go away from the house, so when it rains, we're hoping the water will go down the hill. I sometimes have that bad luck where water goes uphill, if it'll cost me money, but it appears that the water here is going to go down the hill. Plus, the foundation of Casa de Bart does not have a crack in it. When we left the Barcott Manor, we had to pull up the carpet because it was wet, and there's a giant crack running through the living room and down the hall, and maybe into the bedroom. We didn't get that finished, but the crack was so big you could trip on it, even with the carpet over it. We like dry better than we like wet. I like that. Number three. Do you remember the classic Star Trek where Kirk disappeared from the bridge? I think there were two bridges. There was two Enterprises, and Kirk was on one, and everybody else was on the other. It was a real dumb premise for them to put together, but they thought it'd be cute, because it was a science fiction episode. But all they did was they kidnapped Captain Kirk, and the reason they kidnapped Captain Kirk was because the planet was so crowded, it looked like Times Square on New Year's Eve. The entire planet was like this, and you couldn't do anything without running into 15 people. And what they did, they kidnapped Captain Kirk so they could steal some of his infected blood, some of his antibodies or whatever. You know, all people have natural infections in their bodies, and the people on this planet didn't have any, so they stole Captain Kirk so they could get some of his tainted blood and stick it in the girl. But anyway, they knew Kirk was going to have sex with the girl and infect her, and then she could go have sex with everybody else and infect them, and then half of the planet would die off, and then you can move around without bumping into people. That's exactly what Barcott Manor was like. You couldn't move anywhere without bumping into everything. If you reach your hand up to scratch your nose, you're going to knock something off of something. Poor Tommy Mac, when he came to Barcott Manor the first time, he had no place to sit down. We said, "Welcome, Tom, come on in." And he's standing there going, "Where am I going to sit?" So, oh, it's so nice. In the new system here, I can stand up from my chair and walk towards the TV and not hit anything. You don't know how much fun that is. I guess I'm probably doing a poor job of describing that, but it's so much fun to have a little bit of room where I can stand up and move my arms left and right and not knock anything over. That is fantastic. Getting down to it. Number two, Casa de Bart does not smell like mold. My eyes have stopped itching, and I can make it through the entire day without eating an Actifed. You know what it's like to try to sleep when your nose closes up and you got to get those Afrin bottles and do about a half a bottle on each nose just to make it through the night because there's so much mold in the air? Oh, my God, that's all gone. Oh, thank you, God. We have a dry house. It is so dry. How dry is it? Well, so dry, I can sleep through the night. So, yes, oh, we sure love the mold-free home. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us for allowing us to sign a mortgage for the mold-free home. And the number one reason, crowd does the wave, we're all tired of this. We move south, so we're closer to the Bixby corn. Oh, this is going to be so good this summer. What is this, middle of March, April, May, June? We got about 100 days until the Bixby corn comes in. Oh, and it's only like 4 or 5 miles away from us. Oh, boy. We're going to have Bixby corn, fresh Bixby corn, pretty much every night. There's a highway between here and there, so you get about a mile a minute on the highway. I got 5 minutes to invest in fresh corn. So from about July 25th to the 1st of August, we're going to be eating some corn, and that makes the cost of the mortgage bearable. Another kind of hodgepodge section for you. I keep running into things. They don't have any. I got 2-3 minutes to say about 10 subjects. I can't find a pile to put them in, so we're just going to get at them. Letter to the editor about priest scandals. I know this will be real quick. I just need to make a quick point. Reverend Thomas Burke's attitude about media coverage of priest scandals is a little cavalier. Talk about the good priests, he kept saying. Don't talk about the bad priests. Talk about the ones who don't rape the little boys. While he does acknowledge that harm done to victims abused in the past by the clergy is tragic, he says it's time to move on. Yeah, easy to say when you're not the victim. That's like telling the blacks and the gays and the poor to knock it off. Yeah, okay, I'll knock off being black. I'll just knock it off. He seems upset about the constant media coverage that bad apple priests receive. He also says the Catholic Church has taken steps to prevent other children from being hurt. That probably is technically true, that they have taken steps, but did they fix the problem? No, they didn't even try. I'd like to remind the Reverend that the Catholic Church covered up and ignored these scandals for 30-plus years, and they continue today. Can he assure society no child is currently being molested by a trusted member of the clergy? No. Then he needs to shut up. It is also insulting that Burke compares bad priests to bad teachers, bad doctors, and bad lawyers. Religion has always been a special place, yeah, yeah, yeah. The big thing, and here's the point I wanted to make. Yeah, there might be child molesters and teachers and doctors and lawyers, but none of those people grab a little 6-7-year-old kid and said, this is what God wants you to do. If the plumber says God wants you to lick this, even a kid's probably going to say, who are you? What the hell are you talking about? I ain't licking shit. But when the priest, you know, God's holy messenger, God's hand-picked representative, God's personal envoy, the guy who your parents told you, see that guy up there in the long black robes? He is God's friend. He's the God's messenger. He's God's, yeah, yeah. And so when that guy, that same guy grabs your little kid and pulls him in the hallway and says, here, lick on this, the little kid thinks, well, mom and dad told me he was God's friend. He's the guy, you know, that's the difference. So don't you think people ought to knock off all this? There's bad apples in every bunch. You're not supposed to have bad priests. I know priests are human, but human, I think, would be masturbating or whatever. If you're a priest and you're a bad guy, you maybe subscribe to the Playboy channel and wear your hand out on Friday nights or something. But priests grabbing little kids and pulling them in the bushes and raping them, that's not being a bad priest. That's being a fucking monster that could probably benefit from a bullet to the head. But, of course, don't do that on my account. Always, as I have to do, the disclaimer, I was not molested by a priest. I don't know anyone who was molested by a priest, et cetera, et cetera. I'm just saying this is a problem that someone else, no one seems to care about it. It pops up now and then, but if I was donating a lot of money to my parish every week, I would be the guy in charge. Whatever parish I was in, I'd be the guy to talk to about this, because it just seems, you know, if we're not going to protect the little fucking 5-, 6-, 7-year-old kids, well then, what the hell are we going to church for?
Too many OBGYNs aren't able to practice their love with women all across this country.
Back to politics. I know how you love the politics. Headline, Bush's pick of Bolton for the UN job may trigger a fight. Now, I'm going to read you some really stupid shit that the Democrats have said. Start out with a little background. Undersecretary of State John Bolton, a sharp critic of the UN, is president's choice to be the ambassador to the UN. Condoleezza Lizzie Rice announced Monday. So here you got a guy who hates the UN, who says the UN ought not to exist, who said of the 50-story UN building, if you took away 10 stories, it wouldn't matter. This guy hates the UN. This is just typical Bush. You always put the fox in charge of guarding the hen house. This is how Bush does things, and according to Bush, Kerry, and the networks, this is what America voted for. It's just really hard to believe that shit sometimes. But now, here we go with the Democrats. The Democrats signaled that Bolton's nomination could prompt a confirmation fight in the Senate because of his history of questioning the relevance of the UN conference. Mr. Bolton will have much to answer for in the course of his confirmation hearing, said Senate Minority Handjob Harry Reid. Quote, this is just about the most inexplicable appointment the president could make to represent the United States to a world community. But the point is, they've already okayed Ted Olson. They've already okayed John Ashcroft. They've already okayed WMD Condoleezza Sleazy Rice. They've already had Dr. Torture confirmed to be attorney general. And now they come along saying, appointing Bolton, you're going too far? That's just crazy. It's just like the Democrats. We'll let you have the Uzis. We'll let you have the Glocks. We'll let you have the AK-47s, the street sweepers, and the MAC-10s, but no slingshots. What's wrong with you with slingshots? What are you, crazy? Got a quote for you. In the words of Justice Antonin Scalia, you know him as Three Fingers Tony, I bet that 90% of the American people believe in the Ten Commandments, and 85% of them couldn't tell you what they all are. Now, why would Three Fingers say something that makes that much sense? Well, this idea about believe in the Ten Commandments, yeah, 9 out of 10 are going to say don't steal, don't kill. Bill Maher got into this again with the Ten Commandments the other night. The idiots, and that's not you, I'm talking about the idiots who keep saying that the Ten Commandments are just a reflection of society, don't kill, don't steal. Well, George Carlin said it pretty well, but the idea, you got to get to the fifth commandment to get to one of those. The first four are, I am God, and don't you dare think about worshiping anybody but me. That's what they want to make a law, that you have to worship their God. And if you worship a different God, well, fuck you, you're wrong. And if you don't believe in my God, we're going to come at you with tanks and kill you. This is what Bush has done. This is what religion does. You just want to keep religion as far away from any kind of government as you can, but no. Not with people like Three Fingers and that wacky Bush boy in charge. You can't do it. Now comes everybody's favorite subject of all time, basketball. I am just itching to talk a little bit. It's about basketball. There's this poor guy. His name is John Chaney. He apparently is a well-respected crazy man, half-crazy man. He's the coach of Temple University, and he did a bad, bad thing. I'm giving you my version, so don't, you know, read the true version somewhere else. But he was in a game with somebody, some other college, and in his opinion, the referees weren't playing fair. They were allowing the other team to form an illegal line, an illegal fence. I don't care. It's basketball. It's a short pants sport. So he decided if they were going to play that way, he was going to play his way. So he sent in, I think he even used the word goon, to muscle the other team around. And what he did, apparently he put this big, burly, gorilla type of guy into the game, late in the game, and his job was to foul the other guys. And he fouled this guy and fouled that guy, and one of the guys he fouled, he knocked him down and the guy broke his arm. So now this has become a big, everything now has to be a big moral, political, socio-economic kind of issue. They're saying that this guy, like, what's his name, Woody Hayes or Bobby Knight, you know, he's out of control, he's a bad example. On the good side, they say, you know, this guy, he's good with people, he keeps the kids out of jail, they graduate more under him than they do other coaches, that kind of thing. He, in that regard, he's good for basketball. Basketball. But he stepped over the line this time by going goon on the other team. He showed his true colors, and it's time for him to retire. He's an older guy. He's probably 65 or so, and he's black. But this coach, big headline, coach erred, Temple earns blame for not firing him. But I got something to say. Okay, and this really isn't even arguable. Basketball is a stupid, stupid sport. It ought not even to be allowed to be a sport. It is probably more stupid. Yeah, I'll go on record. It's more stupid than soccer. I never thought I'd say that. But basketball is more stupid than soccer, and there's lots of ways. I'll give you two. One, if you're not 7 or 8, 9 foot tall, you don't have a chance. And don't tell me there's some guy named Spider who's 5'1" who once played basketball. I don't care. I'm saying if you're going to play college or professional basketball, you got to have Marfan syndrome to even get on the court. And that is a stupid way to do a sport. What if they had a sport where you had to have a giant nose to play? Now, wouldn't that be a stupid sport? What if you had a sport where you had to be double-jointed? What if you had a sport where you had to be able to stand on your head and or walk backwards? I mean, it's just so stupid to have a sport for tall people. That's stupid. And granted, I know there's a sport for short people. They call it horse racing, but in that, the horse is really doing most of the work. The jockey's pretending he's in charge, but the horse is either going to run or the horse is not going to run. But basketball is super dumb for that reason. If the basket was 25 feet off the ground, now it might make some sense. If I'm 6 foot tall and you're 7 foot tall, hey, I'm shooting 19 feet, you're shooting 18 feet, you've got an advantage of 4%. That makes some sense. But since the tall guys can touch and hang on the damn basket and the short people can't, the short people don't even get to play. That makes basketball a stupid sport. But what makes it even more stupid is the second reason, and that's the game of basketball is so poorly thought out. It was designed by such an idiot. They reward you for committing fouls. That is stupid. If you're behind by 8 points and there's 10 seconds left, you can still win that game. And how do you do it? As soon as the referee blows the whistle, you punch a guy. Now think how damn stupid that is. That's what they do. The team that's winning, if you foul them, you take the ball out of their hands. And you also wait until the moron gets the ball. I don't keep up with it, but in previous years, maybe he's doing better now, but Shaq couldn't hit a free throw. So every time Shaq got the ball, you smack him, you step on his foot, you punch him in the head, you do something to Shaq, they call a foul. Instead of him slamming the ball in, he's at the key or whatever that thing's called, trying to get the ball in the hoop, and he can't do it. So you get rewarded for fouling the other team. That's what makes basketball a super stupid sport. Compare that to anything else. What if in baseball, whenever a pitcher found himself in trouble, the bases are loaded, so what's he do? He throws at the batter's head. See how stupid that sounds? What about a football? The team's inside the 20. They're about to score on you. So what do? You jump off sides, and that means they can't pass the ball now. All they can do is kick it. Now that is stupid. That's a stupid damn sport. And this John Chaney now is in trouble for playing the game. Now, how are you going to say, well, when you foul a guy, you're supposed to use a 0.4 amount of force on the guy, and he used a 0.6, so therefore he's 2 points of force too far. I mean, you can't do that. A foul is a foul. This is the way they set it up. I didn't set it up that way. If they asked me how to set it up, I wouldn't say if a team's in trouble, let's reward them for being in trouble and allow them to commit atrocities on the winning team. That's an idiotic way to set up a sport. They ought to get off this John Chaney's back. If you design a sport where you're intentionally, where you get rewarded for committing, Bart's Law number 2. If you can screw up and make a profit, expect the guy to screw up again and again. Now, I know, but I don't ever get any feedback on the Bart's Laws, and I imagine it's because people are pissed because they know I'm right. But Bart's Law number 2, you'll find that's true 10 times a week. You keep a little pad and a pencil in your shirt pocket, and every time you run into something where if the guy screws up, he gets rewarded, you watch, he's going to screw up again and again. That's why this idiot monkey in the White House is doing what he's doing. Every time he invades a country and 1,000 men die, he gets another $1 billion in his pocket. So he's going to keep invading everything in the world. So let's not blame the coach at Temple for using the rules that they gave him. The rules of basketball were in place before he was born, so let's get off the coach's back.